Chapter 20. With a reverberating gong that both Sam and Remy felt in their heads, the sub glanced over another boulder, tipped hard to port, then snapped upright and nosed over, plunging back into the river's main channel. Water sluiced over the acrylic dome, obscuring Sam's view for a few moments, then cleared. He clicked on the flashlight and shined it over the bow, but could see only rock walls flashing past on either side and white water crashing over the nose cone. The deadly seriousness of the experience notwithstanding, it was a lot like a ride at Disney World, Sam decided. "You okay back there?" he called. Remy, lying behind the cockpit seat, arms braced against the hull, shouted back, "Peachy! How long have we been going?" Sam checked his watch. 20 minutes. "My God, is that all?" After recovering from the mild shock that their plan had actually worked, Sam and Remy had climbed into the water and hung from the sub's bow line, lifting the nose a few more inches off the surface and allowing the rest of the water to drain out. Remy had then crawled inside and closed both scuttles. From there, they'd had little work to do. Check the sub for leaks and shore up the inside with a few carefully positioned planks from the catwalk. The 50-gallon ballast tanks, a 4-inch pipe running lengthwise down the port and the starboard side, were full and nicely balanced the sub. Satisfied they were as prepared as possible, they'd caught 4 hours of sleep huddled together on the pier in a circle of lanterns. At dawn, they'd risen, eaten a breakfast of tepid water and damp beef jerky, then piled a few essentials into the sub and climbed aboard. Using a catwalk plank, Sam had paddled the sub to the mouth of the river tunnel, then closed the hatch and held on. So far, the sub's reinforced aluminum hull was holding up well, but they both knew geology was also on their side. While the tunnel walls were still jagged, the rocks and boulders in the channel itself had long ago been smoothed by erosion, leaving no sharp edges to rip the hull. "Brace yourself," Sam called. "Big rock!" The sub's nose slammed squarely into the boulder, rose up and over the crest, then veered left. The current caught the tail section and spun it around, slamming the hull against the wall. "Ouch!" Remy shouted over the rush. "Okay?" "Just another bruise from my collection." "We'll get you a Swedish massage when we get back to the Four Seasons." "I'll hold you to that." 1 hour turned into two as Sam and Remy rode the rapids, the sub caroming off the walls, vaulting over boulders and tossing from one side to the other in the water. Occasionally, they would find themselves in wider, calmer parts of the river, allowing Sam to open the dome and let in some fresh air to supplement the oxygen Remy was intermittently pumping into the space via their remaining scuba tank. Almost like clockwork, every few minutes the sub slammed into a jumble of boulders, and they would find themselves beached, the sub either lying on its side or perched above the rapids, balanced like a teeter-totter. Each time, either they would dislodge themselves by gently rocking from side to side until the sub slipped back into the channel, or Sam would have to open the dome and push and lever them free using his plank paddle. Nearing their third hour of travel, the sound of rushing water suddenly faded. The sub slowed and began spinning lazily. "What's happening?" Remy called. "Not sure," replied Sam. He pressed his face to the dome and found himself staring up at a vaulted, stalactite-encrusted ceiling. He heard a scraping sound and looked left just in time to see a curtain of vines close over the dome like the swaying carpet arms inside an automated car wash. Sunlight burst through the dome, filling the interior with a yellow glow. "Is that the sun?" Remy said. "You bet it is." The hull scraped over sand, slowed, then came to a gentle halt. Sam peered ahead. They'd run aground in another lagoon. "Remy, I think we have arrived." He unlatched the dome and swung it open. Cool, salt-tinged air rushed through the hatch. He draped his arms outside, letting them hang, then leaned his head back and let the sun wash over his face. He heard something off to his left, opened his eyes, and turned his head. Sitting on the sand 10 feet away were a young couple wearing dive fins and scuba harnesses. Mouths agape and frozen in place, they stared at Sam. The man had a farmer's tan, the woman white blonde hair. Midwesterners on a tropical adventure. "Good morning," Sam said. "Doing a little cave diving, I see." The couple nodded in unison, saying nothing. "Be careful you don't get lost in there," Sam offered. "It can be a little tricky getting back out. By the way, what year is it?"
"Leave the nice people alone, Sam," Remy whispered from the back.